Hello, welcome back. It's part two of the show that you love. It's part two. It's the title of a
Take
song.
Take the lead.
Take the lead. In parentheses, it takes two to tango, and it takes two to make a thing go right. End parentheses.
It takes two to make a thing go right.
You have your two favorite hosts, Carmen Kelsey. Hello, we're Grey's Academy, colon.
Here.
Grey's Academy podcast.
We are.
Grey's Anatomy podcast, I mean. Anyways, beautiful data podcast. Hello, welcome back.
It is.
Take it away, Kelsey.
Thank you so much, Carmen. We are going to start this episode with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Shondaland.
Living in Shondaland!
Only one this time. That's a tricky one, too, so I don't know that you'll get it, I'll be honest.
Okay. Is it the Doctor Who slow claps to start the applause?
No.
Damn it! Okay. All right. Let me get one more guess. Is it the nurse who tells Teddy and Christina how to do the appendectomy?
No, but that's so funny.
All right, then I don't know.
The intern who Christina does not, like, he doesn't even actually speak, but it, like, cuts to him and he looks really scared, and then Christina's like, you, and then it cuts away.
Ah, okay.
In the skills lab, yeah.
Yeah, that's funny. What an obscure Living in Shonda. That's funny.
His name is William, and the last name is NGO. So I'm not positive how to pronounce it. I don't know if it's no or go, but that is how you spell it, is NGO. He is unnamed intern number 4, and he was in an episode of How to Get Away with Murder. So
all right. Look at that. I would never have guessed.
I know. So I was like going through all of the people and I was like, dang, no one's in this one.
And there were a lot of people. It could have been
the two people that you guessed.
It could have been them.
Could have been Jason.
Yeah.
So
could have been anyone. Anyways. Well, that's sad. Only one.
I know, but then the last two both had 6, which was crazy.
And we do love that.
I was just glad there was one so you didn't yell at me for making you sing for no reason. Although the people love it.
The people demand the singing.
You cannot deprive the singing. Okay, so let's talk about the Christina and Teddy, because this one is so funny to me. Christina is doing more with the, like, she's not fighting it. She's not being as snarky. She's being a little snarky, but not as snarky. Same with Teddy. She's being like, you know, they're just like, whatever. They've kind of just accepted that the other one is just going to bother them for a while.
Yeah.
And so they go back and forth. Christina is with interns again, which we have not seen in ages. So she has the interns. None of them have at any point examined this patient, which is fucking hilarious.
Well, so specifically the stomach, the touching, like, none of you have touched this patient.
Yeah. Like they've not done like a physical exam.
Yeah.
So Christina figures out that this woman needs an appendectomy. She also, like, has an existing heart problem, so they're going to need to monitor her in that surgery regardless. So Teddy's like, oh, perfect, I'll just have you do the surgery. And I see what you were thinking about, like, Christina trying to pawn it off on someone else, but I think Teddy is being very hovery right now so that she can pester Christina with the questions. So that's why there's not going to be the option to pawn it off.
I get that there in hindsight. That makes sense.
Yeah. There is the moment where Christina says, are you still doing the thing where you ask me the questions about everything? And Teddy goes, never gets old.
It is funny. There's some comedy to it. I like it. It's a whole new ball game since Teddy made her intentions clear. That's the difference. That's where I'm like, okay.
Teddy is very, very happy.
Yes.
So it's just, she's also just kind of in general sitting on a different mindset.
And just even before that, so when she has the interns, Christina was like, I am all about not skipping steps. I love not skipping steps. Love the basics. So when Christina said that she was going to turf the patient to general, and Teddy was like, no, this is great. And Christina was like, I have just a billion problems with it, and this is where I'm going to start. This is a first-year surgery, not a fifth-year, and I'm cardio, not general. So
Where do I even start killed me.
Yeah.
Like the way she's like, I don't even know how to explain this to you. You're so dumb.
Yeah. But when Teddy says, yeah, you, this is perfect because of how much you love the basics and love the fundamentals. I'm like, this is just so funny. Also, all of this is going on. There's a side plot of Christina and Owen have not talked about the abortion. They have not talked about it at all.
It barely looks like they're talking about any. Like, it looks like they've had a first date. Like, yeah! They are so awkward.
They're no longer married.
It's very bizarre. So, yeah, like, the reveal of Christina not knowing that Owen was going to be chief is fun.
But, can
you imagine? I will say the elaboration on that made sense to me. Like, when Owen said, oh, Weber just talked to me last night, and you were asleep when I got home, and then you were already gone this morning. Like, I kind of understand that. Although a text, like, in the morning, be like, hey, do you have a second when I get to the hospital? But maybe he just went straight to that meeting. I don't know.
So. I also have a hard time when they use these conversations in TV or movies, like, oh, I didn't even hear you come in, or I didn't even hear you wake up. I always hear Jessica come in. I always hear Jessica wake up. It is impossible because at that point,
you and I are similar in this. We are both very light sleepers.
Yeah.
I learned this when Michael and I were still working at Disney and we were on very opposite schedules, and I closed and he often opened or just had a really earlier in the day shift because he was a normal person. I would get home at like 12:45, 1 regularly. Like that was the regular time I was getting home.
Yeah.
And the first couple of times I was like tiptoeing around, not turning any lights on, you know, trying to be very respectful.
And very mindful.
There was one night where I came in. For some reason, I was like not paying attention. I turned the light on and then I was like, oh, shit. And immediately turned it off. And then also knocked something off of the dresser like all at once.
Oh, boy.
Did not a sound was made from that man. Could not have given a shit. So that's when I was like, oh, I no longer have to be quiet. I mean, I wasn't going in and like throwing a party, but I just like wasn't tiptoeing around or like trying so hard to like not touch anything. It just, I was like, oh, he won't wake up. He's a heavier sleeper. And it is a quality that I envy. I am a light sleeper. It is a bummer.
It's not even sound for me.
And Jessica, obviously, even more now, is not going to wake up.
It's not even the sound for me. It's anything. It's light. If Jessica uses the bathroom in the middle of the night and then doesn't close the bathroom door, which has no curtains on the window, the sun will rise and it will creep in from the bathroom into the corner of our bedroom. And that little bit of light is enough for me to wake up in the morning and get pissed off and walk over and close the door.
Yeah. But that technically is like the best way scientifically to wake up, like natural light. That's supposed to be the best way to wake your body up. Well, I don't like it. I'm just telling you.
I hate it. Yeah. Science can go kiss my butt. And then also I have this multi charger where it has the stand up thing for my phone. Then it has a watch holder and then it has a base for either my AirPods or like my work phone. And I think it has a short somewhere in it because randomly the button for the light, it's got like a little tap light button. It'll just go on. And anytime that just goes on, it wakes me up. So
yeah, that's annoying. You have to point your phone away. I mean, I sleep with my phone face down. So that
I put my phone onto the sleep do not disturb. So the screen is completely off.
Yeah. So, yeah. Good times.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Teddy and Christina. Where do we go to
now? So they do the appy. Christina is fine. It's going great. And then she just freezes and she's like, I don't know what comes next. And this is one of those Grey's moments where it's like cutting from Alex to Meredith to Christina to Alex to Meredith to Christina. Like,
and it was really cool. It was hard for me to write notes, but it was very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So Christina, Teddy's like, well, we're going to stand here until you remember it. And Christina's like, no, literally, like, I can tell you right now, I will not. Like, it's not in my brain. It's not going to come to me. And then she's like, Teddy, you do it. And Teddy's like, no. And then Christina realizes that Teddy doesn't know what to do it either. And that's when we get probably like one of the most realistic nurse moments in this television show. Because the nurse steps in and is like, you want to do this, this, and this. And like tells them the steps to finish. And I love that. I was talking to Michael the other day about the unrealistic side of medical dramas and how a lot of it is based on like how much you see a surgeon before they, like in Grey's, they have surgeons taking blood, which would never happen.
No,
they have never. Surgeons in the ER doing stitches, would never happen. And so like, obviously when you're in residency and you have to do rotations, I understand that that happens. But like when you are a surgeon, like you're going to tell me Chief Weber is in the OR, like examining patients, please.
Yeah.
So there's an episode, there's a couple of times they do this really well on The Resident as well. Like there's a time when they ask a surgeon to take blood and they're like, I don't know the last time I did that. I don't even know how to find a vein. I was like, great. Love that. And then in the COVID, like there's an episode where they address COVID. And so they have a nurse that they're treating and they only have limited staff. So they only have a couple of doctors.
Wait,
is
this
her.
In The Resident or in Grey's?
Yeah, like, yeah. This is in The Resident. Okay, yeah, let me just spoil Grey's for you. Sorry, no, in The Resident. And when they're like rolling her over, they unplug like all of her electrodes and then all the doctors are just standing there like, I don't know where any of these go. And so this woman who is like about to be put on a ventilator has to like walk the doctors through where each electrode goes on her body because none of the doctors know.
That's wild.
And I'm like, this is so realistic. And they say like the one of the doctors is like, doctors, am I right? And then another doctor goes, nurses are not paid enough. And the nurse is like, yeah, I know. And I'm like, this is real.
Medicine is so anyways, compartmentalized. So, it's yeah. Wild.
It's really interesting. The dynamic of it is really interesting. I think specifically with like an OR nurse, it would make sense. I don't know for sure. We could ask Kelly's mom, our good friend Kelly, her mom is an OR nurse. So we could ask her to clarify this. But I believe that when you are an OR nurse, you kind of stick more with specific doctors or specific like specialties and procedures. So it makes sense that an OR nurse like in a nappy would know what to do because she's seen so many of them.
Yeah.
Like not to say that she like knows how to execute it, but like that she knows verbally how to like tell someone the next steps.
Yeah.
To me that it's like not, it's not hard for me to believe that at all.
No, that was very believable. Even when I was watching, I was like, yeah, that makes sense. I get that.
Yeah.
It was funny though, when Christina had said, I need you to tell me. And she's realizing that Teddy doesn't remember either. Teddy was like,
moment.
It's been longer that I haven't done it than you should have been doing it, or something yeah. to that effect.
Like just, let's just shame each other. We both right. suck.
But when they walk out of the surgery, and I think Teddy goes, can we make a deal? And then Christina says, we will, like, let us never speak of this again.
Yeah.
And they're both in agreeance. And the nurse comes out and is leering at these two
it's
doctors.
So just like shakes her head. She's like, these fucking bitches making so much money.
So much money. Goodness.
It's so funny though.
What a fun storyline for them.
Yeah. I really like it. It's funny.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
All right. Who do we want to talk about? No.
Let's What's just continue with Christina and Owen.
Okay.
So again, like we had the reveal of her not knowing, and that's also kind of goes hand in hand with the reveal of how quickly it seems like this occurred. And so Meredith is like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys? And she's like, well, we haven't really talked about the abortion. And Meredith's like, you should probably do that. And Christina's like, yeah, but how? Like, what if he doesn't even want to bring it up? Like, what do I need? I don't even know how to, like, move past it. And so then they are like, oh, we should celebrate. Owen's chief. Christina gets to do her solo surgery or whatever, lead surgery. And they're not going to because her surgery is going to be long. But then when it's an appy, he's like, oh, great. Like, we can have dinner. And she's like, yeah, just like, what do you want? You want to take, I can, you want me to pick something up? He's like, I pick something up. You want Chinese? Oh, no, like, whatever you want. And Meredith is like, for the love of God, get Chinese food. And they're like, great. Sounds great. See you later.
I wish that I was married to someone who liked Chinese food as much as I do, because Jessica does not love Chinese food.
Really?
Last week and a half, I was like, Jessica, I'm craving Chinese food. Can we please? I just want Chinese. She's like, no, I'm not in the mood. I'm like, okay, whatever, fine. And I cooked dinner like almost every single day for like a whole week, almost 2 weeks. But I was really craving Chinese. I was like, I just want to buy out. I just want to get Chinese. We'll get it either delivered or I can pick it up. There were in between like three different Chinese places,
yeah.
Two of which are really good. One is fine in a pinch. And I just wanted some egg foo young. And 2 weeks every day. Jessica was like, no.
What does she get when you get Chinese food?
Chicken lo mein.
Yeah, that's my standard go-to as well. But I will say I could eat an entire meal of egg rolls. Like I could eat 45 egg rolls.
Egg rolls are
I've like never met an egg roll I don't like. I fucking love egg rolls.
Yeah.
So good.
I love Chinese food. I can sit there and eat just about anything on the menu and really. Also, when I say Chinese food, I should put the qualifier. We're talking Americanized Chinese food that you like. You know, I recognize that actual authentic Chinese food is a little bit different than what you get at these Chinese food restaurants. But I love egg foo young. Give me that fried rice. Give me anything.
I would say fried rice any day.
Uh-huh. Anything with some, mushrooms and onions.
Sweet and sour chicken, honey chicken, orange chicken.
Mm-mm-mm. Give me that beef and broccoli. Give me that happy family with some seafood in it. Give me egg drop soup. Anything. Literally anything.
Wonton soup.
Oh, yeah. So good. And even sushi. I'm like, I could do all you can eat sushi any day of the week, and Jess has to like really be in the mood for it. Granted, we do different... We do sushi differently now. I'm very big on the nigiri, and she wants to do the rolls. And I'll just sit there, and I'll eat, I don't know, like 70 pieces of nigiri by myself. And
like
she's
16
like,
full pieces, like full fish.
Yeah, it's and Jess is like two rolls in, and she's like, I'm tapping out. I need you to help. And I'm like, I have a strategy.
I am carrying this family.
I did not account for this bump in the road. But yeah, I love Chinese. So on my first orientation day of this other job, I got Chinese delivered, and it hit the spot.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
okay.
Yeah, love Chinese food.
I didn't realize that she didn't like Chinese food that much. That's so interesting.
She claims that she just has to be in the mood for it, but I'm like, just get in the mood, okay? Because I want it.
Mostly in the mood for all food at most times.
Yeah. But yeah, when Meredith yells at them and I'm like, just get the Chinese food. I love that.
So
scene.
True,
that
Meredith. So true. Of course, they then get the Chinese food and are immediately poisoned by it. So congratulations, Meredith. So their food poisoning brings them back together.
Well, you get kind of a misdirect.
Enjoying the... Oh, yeah.
Owen's like, I've been feeling bad for a while. And Christina's like, oh, we're doing this. And
let's
he runs away and vomits.
And her face is like, oh, that's a bummer.
I don't know how realistic it is, though, that you realize that, like, you know,
that it would be that quick.
Well, he's like, did you eat the spring rolls? I think it was the spring rolls.
Yeah.
Could have been anything. Could have been anything.
It really could have. Unless he only ate spring rolls.
Yeah, 45 of them.
Hell yeah. Only way to
yeah,
roll.
And then there's spring
roll.
They're sitting on the ground. It's cute. They're
food
looking at each other and making
them
eyes.
Back together.
Yeah.
Still haven't talked about anything, but it looks like they now have the ability to hold a conversation like normal people. So.
I know that the writers wrote us a scene. And Chandra Wilson directed us a scene where Christina was vomiting and laying on the ground and sick and didn't want to move. But when she was looking up at Owen and they were making eyes at each other, she looked just so pretty laying on the ground in her vomit ground position.
Yeah. Also, I'm just like, is this scene supposed to make me like Owen? Because I still don't. So.
You know, it really depends. It's a daily subscription that we're gonna either renew or deny.
Yeah, and it's hard to say. I mean, do you think they will talk about the abortion?
I think that was their version of talking about the abortion. That's it. That's all we're getting.
Okay, so do you think there is like a forgiveness?
I think there's forgiveness. Now, I'm not saying that Owen is above stooping down and throwing a hurtful, hateful, resentful comment in there in an argument later on down the line. Like, they'll disagree on which couch to buy at IKEA, and he'll go, well, you killed my chance at having a family. And, you know, who knows? Who knows what they're going to do? But I think that this is about as close to forgiveness and a conversation that we're going to get. And I think that's fine. They're bonding over food poisoning as a metaphor for moving on. And I'm okay with that, actually.
I mean, previously you had said within the next two episodes they will be divorcing. So would you like to amend that?
I'm going to amend it to they're not going to get divorced.
Ever.
Just going to remove the...
But Owen is going to say something mean.
He'll say something mean, yeah. Okay. I don't know. I don't know if they're going to get divorced, but it definitely is not going to happen next episode.
Yeah. Okay. I think... Is there anything else on the Owen and Christina storyline that we want to get into?
No. I think I'm good there.
I don't think there's really anything else. Yeah, I think it's just awkward and then it's not anymore. That's pretty much the moral of the story.
Yeah. At one point, their conversation around Meredith pushing them to talk led to that scene where she's like, if I have to come over to your house later, that means that I had have a relationship, you know? So I guess let's talk about Meredith then.
Yeah. Hold on. I think I have to sneeze. Fill for time.
Oh, well, let's talk. Well, so we're going to start with Meredith. So as they're divvying everything up, Meredith gets an aneurysm surgery, which, again, later on, we find out that it's just a really, really hard surgery to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when we meet her patients, they're like, oh, so sorry, the kids, I got to like take care of these plans. So if you kill my husband, you're killing the father of a family. Do you have kids, by the way? And Meredith's like, I think we should move on.
Yeah.
And then he asks her, so how many of these have you done? Like, what's your success rate? And she's like, this will be my first.
I love when he goes, yeah, I wish you would have lied about that. That's, you know, so real.
Oh, yeah. And we get a brief glimpse that I of hope where Derek walks in and he's like smiling and he's like, hey, after today, let me tell you, her success rate's going to be 100% because she's going to crush your aneurysm. You won't even know what hit you. And they walk away and she's like, oh, thank you. And he's like, well, you can go fuck yourself. And then like disappears.
He's like, actually, I do hate you and I hope you and this man die. And so then she's like, she just straight up asked him. She's like, if we don't get Zola back, do you even want to fucking be with me? Cause like, I'm done. If like, I'm not going to just sit around and let you treat me like shit if you don't even want to actually be with me.
Yeah.
And he's and like, I can't talk to you about this. And I'm like, so that feels like an answer to me, but okay.
Yeah. A simple yes or no will suffice. Good.
Like
it
just, yeah, there's no effort to like move past any anger. There's no effort to talk through any anger. Like this man is just on another level and it is fucking annoying. So then in this, and I will say Richard to Meredith is like, are you and Derek okay? Because honestly, if you're not, if you can't communicate with him, you do not need to be in surgery together.
Right.
And she's like, I'm going to take that to heart. So she asked Derek, or she says to him, you should do the surgery because we aren't on the same page. We're not a team right now. And that's not fair to the patient. And Derek's like, you're ready to do it. I'm like, that was never her point. She didn't say she wasn't ready. She said, you guys aren't a team. Those are different things.
Yeah. She clearly was ready.
And then he proves her correct by not being on the same team. And being a huge dick during the surgery. I wonder if they had been in a better place, if he even would have made those corrections or criticisms or whatever, or if he was just like being difficult? Like, is there only one size you can use, or would two different sizes technically both be able to clip an aneurysm? Or are they just doing like a slightly different technique and that's why it still works?
Yeah,
so that's like kind of where my question is, because I think I'm reading it as like, oh, if Derek was doing it, he would have used a different clip and it still would have worked.
Yeah, that's how I was reading it too. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, I just,
there's more than one way to skin a cat, as they say.
So true. And so I hate Derek. News flash.
Yeah, we do get a Boki sighting in this. I love that. Here's my beef with Derek. In this scene in particular. And this same thing with Alex. You can be a dick to anyone you want to be a dick to in the comfort of privacy. When you're doing it in the hospital, in the middle of a surgery, or in front of the patients, that's where I no longer support you. I don't like it. And when he's just like yelling at her, like, you will put that clip down, like, to the rest of the team, and she's the lead surgeon on this.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's yucky.
It's not a good look. It doesn't feel good. And I know we're going to get to it in a minute. We get like some resolution question mark later on.
Yeah.
Like, he still wants to be with her, but then
does he?
Like, I do think that we're going to be in a good spot. I'm going to retract my divorce, prediction on them too. But when you're in the middle of the surgery, you gotta just let her do her thing. She can't second guess it. She does it. Good on her for powering through.
She does it successfully, shockingly, to Derek.
Yeah. And
the misogynist.
Then the other doctor is looking at Derek like, yo, bro, are you gonna clap? No?
Yeah, and then
okay,
he does it,
I'll start
God.
The clap. And then Derek does clap. He doesn't just like leer at her and then walk away. But I was like, this is going to go one of two ways. He's either going to clap or he's going to look at her and just like leave and never
like
clap.
Like storm off. Yeah.
Yeah. It would be different. And we've seen Meredith not listen to Derek when he's leading in the OR, or she's not listened when someone else was leading in the OR. This is different.
Right.
She was leading the OR. Your job today, like Mark said when he grabbed his coffee to start the episode, is a lot of standing around this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So Derek, just stand
also,
there and shut up.
Yeah. And yeah, I just, it's weird to me. And I'm like, someone's brain is open. Don't be screaming like that. There's different ways to communicate. It's just frustrating.
All frustrating. So let's talk about their end scene. Let's talk about the home.
Yeah. I don't like it. I find it a little gaslighty. I think Meredith is right to bring it up and be like, I was right. You know, we shouldn't have operated today. You don't have any faith in me. We're not a team. If we even are going to get Zola back, we need to figure out if we can be, because if we get her back and we're not a team, that's also bad, which
right.
is true as a parent. So Derek's like, I don't want to talk to you cause I'm going to say mean things. I'm like, bitch, you already said the meanest thing you could possibly say to her when you said that she's not going to be a good mom.
Also, I hate when people say that. You saying I'm going to say mean things is just as bad as saying the mean things, because you're already thinking it.
Yeah. And also, like, respectfully, now that you've said that you're going to say something mean, whatever I'm thinking you're going to say, probably way meaner than whatever you actually say.
Right.
Because yeah. I am way better at being mean to everyone, including myself. So, yes, that is. I agree. That is a frustrating thing when people say that. So he says, "Oh, she's like, I'll accept the consequences." He's like, "You've never accepted a consequence in your life." I'm like, "She was fired, and she accepted that she was fired. Just because it didn't actually happen doesn't mean she didn't accept it."
Yeah, she's not Izzy. Izzy,
like,
Meredith
I don't
got consequences.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't, I'm sure there's other times too that I could think of that she actually has like accepted consequences, but I fail to think of them now, but I'm sure they exist.
What I don't understand is when he's like, I don't need you to say I'm sorry, I need you to be sorry. What does that mean? Do you want her to
experience? Don't even get me fucking started. I was like, of all the people to say they want someone to be sorry, this fucking man who has said those words, like, I don't know, once or twice in his fucking life is going to tell her that she needs to be sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm livid.
And also, we're going to take a break for regional sponsors. We'll be right back. All right. And we are back. I was ready to keep going. I looked at the time and so I was like, funny. Oh, shit. Talk about anticlimactic. Okay. When he says, I want you to be sorry, does he want someone to hook her up to a medieval torture device and drip water on her head? I don't. Like,
I don't know.
What
yeah.
does that mean?
I don't know why he doesn't think she is sorry, because she's apologized to Richard. She's apologized to him. Like, I don't know why he thinks she, well, I guess because she said that she would do it again. Like, she would switch the trial again for Adele. I guess that means he thinks she's not sorry. So,
and that's fine. You can you can still be sorry and make the wrong choice again because it negatively impacted Derek. But she even said that. These are not mutually exclusive things, and it's way more complicated than Derek is wanting to see it as.
Yeah, this whole situation, and she even says it, is like Derek is just looking at it so black and white, and it's just not for Meredith, which is fine. And I think that's where, like, a lot, obviously, of the main, like, discourse in this specific, like, plot line is going to be. Is Derek's like, this is right and this is wrong. And Meredith's like, there's just more to it than that. And Derek's like, no, there's not.
Yeah.
And it's hard to, like, get past that in any conversation.
It's also crazy to me when Derek's, when she's like, well, So you can't trust me. And Derek's like, well, why should I? I could never have trusted you. Like, I have no reason to ever think that I could trust you, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, dude, you just were like loving and smushing Meredith again behind your wife's back after you said that you were choosing her. Like, there, like, what?
Look in a mirror.
Look in the mirror. And when he throws in her face, he's like, you ended my trial. You set back my career. You nearly ended your own. You ruined Richard's. Like, and then she's like, why are you even with me? And he's like, because that post-it note.
And that's supposed to, I think that's supposed to be like a romantic moment. I'm with you because we're married. Like, I'm with you because we made promises to each other. But like, part of that promise is to not treat each other like shit and just like lock her out if you are mad at her. But I guess, I mean, they did write the words, I promise not to run and I promise to love you even when I hate you. But I'm like, but you aren't still loving her. You are just hating her.
The problem is, Kelsey, the post-it note wasn't one of those large ones where they could write, I promise to talk to you even if you ruin my clinical trial saving Richard Weber's wife named Adele.
So true.
If they had a bigger post-it note, they could have written that in the contract. They didn't.
Yeah.
I do have a hard time with that.
And then she's like, you just said you can't trust me. And he's like, I never said that. I'm like, what the fuck? You literally just said that.
Yeah, pick a lane, bro.
Like, what he means is I'm only, you know, meant it in the workplace setting. And so, like, the specificity about it is different. But that's what, like, that was the missing piece in the, like, communication. Because she's like, she says, why would we stay together if you can't even trust me with our daughter? And he's like, I do trust you with Zola. Like, you're a good mom, and I know that you would, like, be fine. And she's like, well, you just said you don't trust me. He's like, that's not what I said. And so it goes back to what he said either last episode or the episode before where he's defending her to Janet, and he says, like, Meredith's flaw is that she loves people so hard that she'll do anything for them. And so she's like, okay, well, I just won't be on neuro anymore, and that's my consequence. And that's how we'll, like, stay together, because we'll remove the professional aspect of our relationship and we will only have, like, our relationship outside of the workspace together.
I want you to know that I actually don't hate that resolution. I hate the lead up and how we got there.
Yeah, I agree. I hate how they get there. I don't like how Derek handles any of this. I don't mind that resolution. Like, to me, that makes sense. Like, that is clearly where the main source of this conflict has come from. And my issue is like, if when she says that's my consequence, I'm like, okay, so if you're doing this only to punish her, then it's wrong. If you are doing it truly because like you are only just going to continue to like not work well together and have conflicts based around work, then this is a good resolution. But if she's like, I just won't be on Darrow so that I am punished, then I don't think it's really like the answer. But I agree with you. It's just like the lead up and the communication around the decision is not the best. But the actual like answer to the quote unquote problem like makes sense.
Yeah, because when he says I trust you as Zola, you're a great mom. Like you made a decision to try to save Adele for Richard. You stood in front of a bullet for me. It's what I love about you. And it's what she's like, but it's also, it seems to be what you hate about me too. And he goes, yeah, it is.
Yeah.
So, okay, fine. But like, Derek, you don't need to just fucking use your work. You're an adult. You're a human person, adult. You're not a 3-year-old. You're not a child who doesn't even know how to speak yet. Talk about it.
Yeah. So, just because the toddler isn't there doesn't mean you need to act like the toddler.
Yeah. So we get the scene where they're like, they fell asleep on the same bed for the first time in what seems like a long time. Their hands are like close to each other, but not touching.
Almost touching.
Almost touching.
We almost love each other.
Yeah. So, it was just kind of crazy.
It's so frustrating.
So, I just don't know what that means for her when she's off his service because... like she clearly has a passion and a skill set for neuro. She could work with the Shadow Shepherd guy.
Yeah.
But is that going to drive a wedge between Derek and Meredith more? Like, I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, that's it on the, I did also want to say they do specify Derek's, like the FDA took Derek off his clinical trial. The clinical trial does get to continue. So it's not that this drug just no longer gets to help people. The clinical trial does continue. They found a different neurosurgeon somewhere else to take over it. I just wanted to clarify that because I did not really remember that resolution from beforehand. So I noted it to mention it.
Yeah. And someone in
Richard
Phoenix.
And Derek both say they've been blacklisted by the FDA.
Sucks.
Sucks to look. Okay, was there anything else on that before we finish up with Jackson?
No, I think that was it. I do just want to say I'm glad that they finally had a conversation. Mm-hmm. I personally think that I can see the romantic part of Derek pointing to the post-it note and saying, I am with you and I'm not running away because of this, like because of this promise we made.
Yeah.
But like the post-it, if you're going to reference the promise as a reason to not run away, you don't just get to gaslight the person until they run away. It's not fair.
Or just like be a dick. Like if you're going to stay, then stay.
Yeah.
Don't be like, well, I said I wouldn't leave you, so I'm just going to stay here and treat you like shit. Like that's not a win.
Yeah.
Or a good relationship either. So yeah, that's frustrating.
That's all I got on that.
Again, I want to reiterate, it is fair for Derek to be mad about the trial situation. I do feel like the frustrating part is that he won't see the gray area of it, the Meredith gray area of it. And I'm very Carmen today with my puns.
I love it. It's amazing.
And then it's fair for him to be mad that she stole Zola and like didn't respond to any communication in that time frame. But it is frustrating. I'm sure we've talked about this before. Are you the type of person that can go to bed mad? Like, do you and Jessica like have to finish a fight?
I think we have. It's not very often. Yeah. It is very rare. But we're still sleeping in the same bed. It's not like,
yeah,
like I'm not like sleeping on the couch or going to a different bedroom.
Very rarely. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like even after, like at the end of this fight, I would like not want to go to bed because like, yes, they kind of come to a resolution, but I would still be like, I need some other kind of reassurance that we're okay. Like, I can't just be like, okay, we just won't work together anymore. Let's go to sleep. I don't know. It was just that to me also kind of stuck out. Like, it doesn't even have to be necessarily about that. Just be like, let's change the topic and have a civil conversation about something else so that I can kind of feel like we're still in a good spot. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I like those moments. Like, even if you have a really heated fight and it ends and it's like resolved, I'm like, but I still don't want to go to bed with my blood pressure at 100,000. Like, I would like to come down a couple notches and then go to sleep.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I'm completely with you. We've got Jackson to talk about, and I think we've talked about April a little bit, but she's kind of like obviously floating between kind of all the different storylines. Kind of,
yeah, she's got a hand in everywhere now that she's chief resident.
Yeah, with an office.
So Arizona is, I don't love Arizona in her Jackson storyline this episode. Jackson is going to do a cleft palate surgery, on a bebe. And it's a cute ass baby. And a cute ass mommy. Yeah. There are different types of cleft palate, to my understanding. I think this one was like a more severe one because there was a more of the like bone missing.
Yeah.
I think. Because there are types where it's like more just affecting the lip, and then there's the type where it goes deeper into the jaw as well. And that's what this one was. And so they're saying, like, if they do the surgery when he's younger, his jaw will, like, grow with the reconstruction and all this stuff. And, you know, also, I'm sure, like, I know not from experience, but just from, like, talking to other people, that feeding a baby who has a cleft palate is, like, a very difficult task and, like, just a hurdle to overcome. And feeding a baby in general is difficult because they're tiny and, like, they can't communicate. And it's difficult because they're hungry all the time. So I think that's also a benefit to doing that surgery when they're younger, just to kind of help them with that development, with the feeding and then moving to solid foods as well. So Jackson explains to the mother, he does a great job, like answers all her questions, comforts her, explains to her like how he's going to do the surgery. And then Arizona's like, you just did such a good job. Mark is going to do the surgery, but like you did such a good job. And he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, I just don't like what your plan is. I want Mark to do something different. And like, doesn't he ask him if he would change? Doesn't ask him if he knows how to do the other procedure. It's just like, I'm going to take this away from you. I am a bully. So then Jackson goes to Alex and is like, hey, can I have that the head of your pig?
Just the head.
And does perform the procedure that he's going to perform on this baby on the pig, and then shows it to Arizona and is like, I deserve to do this surgery. I love when she says, that is a perfect Mylord rotation on a pig. This pig is now mildly more attractive than the average pig. So funny.
And you know, you think it is going to turn fully because he stands
up. Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? You're right. You've convinced me.
But then in the surgery, she's like, bullies him more.
I hate it.
She's like, you're going to decide the course of this child's entire life. You're going to decide if people mock him for having a scar. You're going to decide if he's ugly. You're going to decide if anyone wants to go to prom with him. I'm like, oh my fucking God, Arizona. How is this helpful?
And then she just hits him with how.
This is not good teaching.
No, it's not. Because at the end of it, after she tells him, you're right, you've convinced me, you've done the legwork, you've shown me, you stood up for yourself.
Yeah.
Now we're in the surgery. Now I've emotionally manipulated you. Would you like me to call Sloan or like?
Yeah, what? I hated it. I'm like, this is not, I don't understand the point. I don't like it. I don't think it's funny. Like, I think the overall plot point is so that at the end of the day, even though technically Alex has the worst outcome, Jackson didn't even do the surgery. So like that's how he loses the bet that they have, but that's
so stupid. On the heels of him being the Gunther, you take all, you undermine him next episode. It's dumb. The writing, yeah. What are you thinking on this?
And it makes Arizona look really bad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that Jackson's in the wrong.
No.
Like, she played on him in a vulnerable state. She manipulated the shit out of him intentionally.
And the only one, other than the kid and the family who win, Mark gets a win out of this because he gets a comedic line and he goes, "It's all right. There's no shame. You're still the goober. And he goes, "Gunther." Oh, so and he goes, "Yeah, totally. That's what I meant. That's right. Arizona. Yeah. That one sucked a little bit.
Not the vibe. Not the babe. So, anything else on that one? Or do we just want to chit chat about April real quick?
We can chit chat about April. Speaking of the contest and the bet, there's a scene where Callie is like, "Man, that was genius. Like, you're doing great." And she's like, "Oh, about that." We get a nice moment where Callie actually tells her, she's like, "Oh, yeah, I get it. I was chief resident once." And April's like, "Oh, how'd you do it?" She's like, "Oh, I didn't. Fun fact.
I was piss poor."
Yeah, terrible. I actually got removed from it. Bailey got it. She didn't say that. But, you know, I think it's nice because it opens up that allowance of, look at Callie. Look at who she is. Look at how dope she is. She's created, what is it? She created bones from nothing or cartilage or whatever it was she was making. Yeah. And she was not a good chief resident. So it's fine. People have their skills. And their strengths.
Yeah. And I love at the end, she's like, "It's all right. You'll do it and you'll be great. Or you won't." I'm like, yes, those are the options.
Yep.
I do think that moment of the two of them talking and kind of like giving her advice, quote unquote, is a good moment. And so, yeah, she shows them the office, which is so funny. And they're like, "When did we get this?" And she's like, "We did not get this." And Alex is like, "This couch is so nice. I could sleep on this." She's like, "No, you cannot sleep on this." And Meredith's like, "Wow, we have a refrigerator." April's like, "For the love of God, I hate these people."
She's like, "I got this on Craigslist. This is a mine.
So, yeah, they kind of get to the bet to take away the skills lab teaching. Like, only one of them will have to teach a skills lab based on the worst outcome, which ends up being Jackson. So, I think April is getting there because they're not giving her so much pushback. I think she's just still finding like where she can be lenient and where she can like find motivation for them.
Yeah. Cause even, well, Jackson was really quick to be like, "Man, Alex killed a guy. Like, he lost." And then April's like, "Well, he at least touched his patient today." And then when Jackson hits back with a, "What part of between you and me do you not understand?" And she just kind of smirks and
she's they like, "Well, all bitch." Make.
Yeah. So, and then she goes, "You know, you lose by forfeit. We'll go again at it tomorrow." And they're all like, "And the next day, and the next day, and the next day." It is nice to see. I don't think they hate April. And I also don't think they don't respect April. They're just selfish, and they respect themselves more than they respect other people. So,
well, and at this point, they're not seeing like any potential consequence of not doing what April says.
Right.
Because Alex is like throwing her under the bus and be like, "April can't get my surgery staffed."
Oh, yeah, to Weber. That was icky, Alex.
Yeah.
Damn, boy.
Not a good Alex episode. And so, yeah, it's just, I think that you're just, like, kind of waiting more for her to find her groove and, like, figure out, like, where she can push and where, like, how she can offer, like, the inspiring part of the leadership aspect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So,
I'm happy.
I'm happy for her. I'm glad that she... I mean, this episode was an interesting episode. Didn't hate it. But there's a lot. There's a lot of things. A lot of chaos that happens. So, I think it's also worth pointing out, at one point, I'm just trying to think back of anything that we've missed. That scene at the beginning when Alex Arizona walks up to, or he leads up to Alex and is like, you better not be padding your surgeries because you're not going to get a fellowship that way. You know, we do obviously get resolution later on that he isn't. He's just nervous. So that was one other thing I did want to call out. But
okay. Okay. Couple questions from Discord. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is from Kat, how good or bad will Owen be as chief of surgery?
I am going to have two different categories.
Okay.
Chief of surgery to everyone not named Christina Yang. 7.9. Chief of surgery to anyone named Christina Yang. 1.
Incredible.
I don't think he's going to know if he already is flailing to lead Bailey. He's going to have a hard time leading to Christina.
Yeah.
He already had a hard time with navigating her through the chief resident, the selection process.
Right.
I don't think they're going to he's going to have a good time navigating her through that, because I also don't think that she as a person can compartmentalize those two. I think she has a hard time with that too. So it's not all his fault, but he's not going to do himself any favors.
Yeah. Okay.
Good question.
We also kind of talked on this. Who would you have chosen? Owen, Derek, Mark, Arizona, Teddy, or an outside choice? You said Addison. I do feel also probably Addison. Or maybe even an outside choice that we don't know. I don't know, you know? Like, find even another person.
Yeah, I think there needs to be someone outside of the hospital.
Yeah.
That's what I think really needs to happen. Because I don't want there to be Mark. I don't want it to be Derek. I don't want it to be Teddy, Arizona, Callie. I don't want it to be any of them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think Meredith was right using the surgical clip she picked? Or was Derek just micromanaging her? Yeah, we kind of talked on that. I think, again, to me, it's my truth is that, like, both would have worked. Like, if Derek had done it and used a different clip, it also would have worked. They're just doing it differently because they just are different surgeons, but they both would have worked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, sorry, repeat the question one more time. I was texting Jessica. I'm so sorry.
Do you think Meredith was right in using the surgical clip she picked, or was Derek just micromanaging her?
I think that, again, going back to, it's two ways to skin a cat, right? It's there's going to be preferences. It's also, we've seen the show. There's differences of how they do things with different surgeons and different doctors, staples versus stitches, stitch styles.
Even
either
with,
way,
like the way that Jackson was talking about doing the cleft palate repair versus how Mark was going to do it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they would have been fine. I think that the aneurysm would have been fine either way. This guy was written to live.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was the other one? Whose service does Carmen think Meredith is going to be on now that she is no longer in Nero?
I think Shadow Shepherd, second guy. We're gonna get the revival of Shadow Shepherd.
So she still will be on Nero.
Yeah, just not Derek's service, because she didn't say she's giving up Nero. She said she's giving up.
She
his
literally
service.
Said she was going to give up Nero.
Did she? Did she say that? I'm so sorry. I missed that. My bad.
Let me find the direct quote to make sure I'm correct, but I'm pretty sure. I'm off your service. That's my consequence. If we want to stay together with or without Solo, we can't work together. I feel like she said I'm off of Nero, though. Maybe I messed it up. I guess she just said I'm off your service.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the other guy.
Okay. Will the chief be able to fit in as a regular attending?
No, we've already seen this before. He tried and it didn't work. He had a hard time coming back from his rehab. He's going to fail here too, but it's going to be cuter this time.
Do you think that Teddy's teaching approach will be successful in humbling Christina?
Yes, because it also humbled her, and I think there was a bonding moment for the two of them, and I think that they really, they needed a bonding moment, the two of them, and they finally got
it. Yeah. Okay, so those are all the questions. So let's rate it. This is hard because I think the episode is good. The stories that are being told are compelling and good, but there are so many things I took issue with. So it's hard. Like, I think, like, to me, the biggest thing that stands out is, like, the communication around Derek and Meredith getting to the resolution and then the motivation for Alex being such a huge turd. And then Arizona bullying Jackson did not work for me. But, like, the episode, the stories that are told are good, and I like where the plot line is going. So I'm having a hard time, like, how to rank this one.
I'm going to rank it as a, I'm going to rank it as a 4, because while I didn't think there was anything wild, like crazy out of the blue, there wasn't, there was drama, but it wasn't like
intestines in the hand.
Yeah. It was just a lot of control drama, but it was a steady flow. It was like a drip.
It was kind of like reckoning all things that have already happened too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it was something where I felt my attention on the episode the entire time. It wasn't a bad episode.
It was compelling. I just like take issue with some of the ways that we got to the end point, if that makes sense. So I think I'm going to do a 3.8 because like the performances were all great. I don't have issues with the stories. I just kind of like the way we got to certain places. And then I will say, like, the Arizona being a bully just didn't work for me. I don't know what the point of that was. And I didn't like it at all.
Yeah. Alex gets a 0.01 for this episode.
Yeah. I was glad that he did the right thing and went and talked to the son. Like, I'm glad that he was the one that went and talked to him. And in my truth, he is very kind in that moment. There's no, like, being a dick about it. Okay. Predictions.
I predict that April is still going to be chief resident. I think she's going to keep it. She's not going to lose it. I think she's going to hit her stride. Hunt is going to do well as the chief of surgery. Eventually, Bailey will rally behind him. But I think that ultimately, Weber is just going to be out of it until Adele passes away in 2 seasons or less. I think Christina and Teddy have turned a road. They're going to be good. I don't predict anything there. I do think that after this scene, Derek and Meredith are going to be good for, they're going to be good. They are going to get Zola. I'm predicting they're going to get Zola.
When?
And next episode. They get Zola next episode.
Okay.
Yep.
So what do you think just with Christina and Teddy? Like, what does that look like moving forward?
I think it's going to be more of a mentor-mentee, fun, friendly relationship. They're going to want to see, Teddy's going to want to see Christina succeed. And I think they're leading up to Christina doing a heart surgery for Henry. Henry's going to need some sort of cardio surgery, and Teddy can't do it. So Christina's going to be the one doing it.
Okay. Richard, as an attending in general. I mean, you said Adele would die by season 10.
Yeah, I think that he's going to just be a fun sandwich talking goob for a while and let him vibe. He's just gonna vibe. I don't really have a specific prediction for him, but I'm excited to see him because he made the choice. He's like, I've made this choice. It wasn't it being taken away from him because of his addiction. He made this choice,
right? Anything else? Owen and Christina, you think they're fine now?
Yeah.
April, as chief resident?
She's again, she's going to hit her stride, and I think that she's not going to get fired from it. She's going to keep the chief resident job.
Okay. Mark, in general?
Dope. He's just going to keep being dope.
Okay.
He's going to... I think I predicted he's going to die. He's going to die at some point, right when Lexi and him get back together. We didn't see Lexi at all this episode.
Yeah, we did not. I don't know why, because she also wasn't in the last episode, so I don't know what was going on. Maybe she had to go film something else. excuse me. Bailey, just a prediction for Miranda.
She's going to align with Owen within 4 episodes. She will finally ease up on him.
Okay.
She is gonna yell at Meredith, though. I'll tell you what. She's gonna yell at Meredith within the next 2 episodes. It's gonna happen. She's gonna just unload on Meredith.
Okay. All right. I think that's it then for predictions. I thank you guys so much for listening. Please keep sharing us. We can keep getting new people reaching out and saying that they found us, and we're grateful for that. And we love hearing from everybody. Find us on Patreon so you can chat with us on our Discord and get some extra content. And you can follow us on Instagram, Grey's Academy Pod. You can email greysacademypod@gmail.com. And if you see Carmen walking down the street, just remember,
no spoilies. Don't even think about it. Take a selfie. Give us a 5-star review wherever you listen. And we appreciate you all. We will see you all in the next one.